You are listening to Benefit from the Bible, which is the preaching ministry of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Parma, Ohio. It is our desire that you carefully listen, rightly understand, thoroughly apply, and eternally benefit. If you are listening on an iPhone or iPad, install the free podcast app called Overcast, then search for Benefit from the Bible. May God bless your listening. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, think about yourself for a moment. For you, what is most important? What is that one thing that is most important? Here are some options for you. Maybe you would say good health, good relationships, good job, more money. Those things are all somewhat important to us. But I hope that all of you, when you really thought about it, you said, most important of all is knowing Jesus Christ. Now, as we jump back to the time of John the Baptizer, almost 2,000 years ago, we're going to see him in action. And what is he doing? He is pointing others to Jesus. And then what about those others? They are also telling others about Jesus. Let's see what their pattern is, what their mode of operation is, and then let's learn from them and let's figure out how we can put such a practice in our own lives so that others might know our Lord Jesus Christ. Going on to the first part of the sermon, John the Baptizer testifies about Jesus. Again, the Bible says, "The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" So it begins there with the words, "the next day." So what happened on the previous day? That was when John told other people about Jesus. So he had pointed him out the previous day. He had called him the Lamb of God, and he told people about the work he would do to take away all sins. What about us? How are we pointing other people to Jesus? What really are the basics of it? Think about it like this. We should be saying to them who he is, why we need him, and how we get him. So they need to know he is the very Son of God. And they might say, "So what?" Then we need to say, "Well, we need him because we're all sinners and we can't get rid of our own sins and we need to have no sin in order to be with God forever. So that's why we need him. And then how do we get him? Well, God gives us to him as he works through word and sacrament." And then going further here in the text, John talking now, "This is he," talking about Jesus, "this is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me.'" How is that possible? Well, think about the Son of God. He is from eternity, from before creation. So he is before John, way before John, thousands of years before John, but he's also after John as well because physically he is 6 months younger. So both before and after. And then John said, "I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water that he might be revealed to Israel." What does that mean? I didn't know him. Think about it like this. John was saying, "I knew him, yes, as one of my relatives. However, though, I didn't know that that particular relative of mine is, in fact, the Messiah." So when did he find that out? He found that out after he baptized Jesus and Jesus stepped up out of the water, and then God the Father opened heaven. He sent the Spirit down upon him and he spoke from heaven. That's how he knew. And the Bible says, "And John bore witness, 'I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he, God the Father, who sent me to baptize with water, said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. That's what John said. So think about how that process worked out. So before John began baptizing, God the Father not only called him to baptize, but told him that one day, with one particular man, you're going to baptize him. And after you baptize him, then heaven is going to open, the Spirit of God is going to come down upon him and remain on him. So imagine John, he has that in the back of his mind. And now he's baptizing and baptizing and baptizing. And maybe every time somebody new stepped up, he's thinking, is this the guy? He didn't know it was going to be his relative, Jesus. So he's thinking, is this the guy? There are some people who estimate that John may have baptized 250,000 people. So imagine with every one of those men, he's wondering, is this the one? Is this the one? And then finally, when he baptizes Jesus, and then he steps out again, God rips heaven open. He sends the Spirit down. He speaks from heaven. Can you imagine how John must have felt about that? Wow, what an exciting thing. So how do we know that's true? We know that's true because we have the testimony of John the Baptizer, the one who was so confident in God that he always told the truth, and he wouldn't even back down, even in the face of the king, even in the face of being imprisoned, and even in the face of having his head cut off. So we can know that he's telling us the truth, and God has allowed it to be recorded right in his holy word. So God wants us to be confident that Jesus is the promised one. He is the Christ. And then going further here, two of John's disciples, they follow Jesus. The Bible says, the next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. So think about John. He was a teacher, a rabbi, so he had students, he had disciples, he had people who were learning from him, people who were following him. And what was he teaching them? He was teaching them the Old Testament scriptures. He was teaching them about the reality of sin. He was teaching them about the reality of the coming Messiah who would then take away the sin of the world. So imagine one day these men, they have all this understanding now, oh, we're sinners, and one day the Messiah is going to come. Now, one day, they're standing there, Jesus walks by, and John says, hey, guys, look, there he is, right there, he's the one. Now, you have to keep this in perspective. Now, realize that God had promised he would send him 4,000 years earlier. So people had been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for a long time. And then John had personally taught these men about him. And then, right there, that day, there he is. So it was quite an extraordinary thing that God did. And then the Bible says, Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, what are you seeking? And they said to him, Rabbi, where are you staying? He said to them, come and you will see. So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. So what about the 10th hour? Well, a little bit difficult to say for sure. When we think about Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they seem to be following Jewish time, so that would make the 10th hour about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But John goes back and forth a little bit between Jewish time and Roman time, which is the time that we use. It seems a little bit more likely to me that it's probably 10 o'clock in the morning here, because it does say they stayed with him that day, and it makes it kind of sound like a longer period of time, where if it was Jewish time, that would mean it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and the day was almost over at that point. So I would guess it's probably 10 o'clock in the morning. But think about what happened, though. Jesus sees them following. He turns around and acknowledges them. He's very kind to them. He says, hey, guys, come and stay with me. But can you imagine, though, what happened? They went. They found out where he was. and they talked with him, asked him questions, and what was going on? The Spirit of God was at work through all those words, convincing them with all certainty that the one they were talking to was, in fact, the promised Messiah. So in a different way, with the Spirit coming down, God convinced John the Baptizer. Now, in a little bit different way yet, for these two disciples, God convinces them beyond all doubt that he is the one. God has also worked in our lives to do that same convincing. He wants us to be sure. And then Andrew tells his brother Peter about Jesus. So the Bible says, one of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. As we think about the two men, we think about Andrew. So we know that Andrew had the brother Peter. We know they were both fishermen. So that's what they did. And then when it comes to the other man who was with Andrew, the man is not named, but almost for certain, we believe it is John. But let's think, though, for a moment about Andrew and probably John spending this day with Jesus. Can you imagine how excited they must have been? If only we could be privy to that conversation on what they asked and what Jesus said, and it must have been just a super fantastic day. And then imagine for a moment that that was you and you had that conversation. Would you then leave Jesus and go home and sleep on it and maybe keep it all to yourself? Would that be the natural thing to do? Or would you be like so overflowing with information, so bursting with joy that you're like, I've got to tell somebody else. I've got to post it on Facebook. I've got to do something to get the word out. Is that the idea? Well, in a sense here, notice what the Bible goes on to say then. It says, Andrew first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah. Now, we don't have all the information here, but most likely, though, there were a number of people, including these men, and they were part of what we might call the faithful remnant. So they were Old Testament believers. They were looking for the Messiah. But did they even expect him to be there in their own lifetime? As we think about, will Jesus come back in our own lifetime? He might, but he might not. For them, will he come in their lifetime? Well, it had been 4,000 years, so what was the likelihood that he would? But yet, he did, and now this excitement is passed on to Peter. And maybe Peter kind of wondered, you guys got to be kidding. How could this be the guy? It seems impossible. But yet, though, God works this all out and eventually helps Peter understand, too, he is the Messiah. As I conclude here today, what about us now pointing others to Jesus? So we saw it a little bit with John the Baptizer, and then we saw Andrew point his brother Peter to Jesus. But what about us? What does it take? Well, I identified four things here. First of all, we must know Jesus in order to be able to introduce someone else to him. Imagine if you told someone, I know this very important person and I want to introduce you to him. Let's go over to his house and I'll introduce you. And imagine you couldn't even get in like the main gate of the place where the guy lived because he doesn't know you. That would be pretty embarrassing. We need to know him. So how did that happen? God is the one who brought us into relationship. God did that work through holy baptism. And then through the Bible, we have grown up in knowing Jesus more and more. So God talked to us. Now, how do we respond? We talked to him. That is vital for us even now as we continue in Christ that we make use of the Bible. So when we open the Bible and we read it, God is talking to us, and then based on what God has said to us, it's important then that we would talk back to him, and that would be prayer. So these are things that should be going on day after day in our lives. I would encourage you to set some point in the day and then use that same time every day. And even if you only take, let's say, 10 minutes, so take 5 minutes to read the Word of God, and then take 5 minutes to talk to God about what he said and maybe what else is going on in your life. but you would find that to be a blessed 10 minutes of your day, and then to keep that schedule day after day, God will bless you in that. You will get to know better your Lord Jesus Christ. And then after that, second, what do? We give people our own testimony. It could be so simple, we can simply say to them, I was a lost sinner, but now God has found me and forgiven me in Jesus Christ. So we're going on one side, talking about the bad news and where I was and how I couldn't fix it. And then we're talking about what God did to us in order to make it all better because of Jesus Christ. So we're hoping in saying that the people are connecting with us and they're thinking, oh, I'm also a sinner, and that means I'm also in trouble, and I don't really know what to do about it, but you're saying, though, now your life is different, and it's because of Jesus. I want to know more about that. So that takes us right in then to the third thing. We go ahead and answer questions. So people are going to say, well, wait a minute now, I've done things wrong, but I'm not that bad. So then we have to get into that a little bit. And then we have to be like, well, how can Jesus, who lived almost 2,000 years ago, how can he make any difference in my life today? So we have to be ready to say things like this. But how do we have the answers, though? We have the answers as on a daily basis, we are in daily devotion, hearing from God and talking to him. We have the answers by coming here to divine service, and we have the answers by gathering down the hall to study the Word of God further. So in all those ways, God is equipping us with his Word to be able to interact with others about our Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally, we should invite them to church. So we can say to them, do you want to find out more? Do you want to meet some of my brothers and sisters in Christ? So we can invite them to come. A great way to do that is to say, I will pick you up. That's the best way to ensure that they actually come. I will pick you up. Or maybe second best is, I'll watch for you and meet you at the door. We'll sit together. I'll show you how things work here at Bethlehem through our worship folder. And it's going to be very nice, very comfortable. Tell them how we have a nice refreshment time right after the service and all these wonderful things. So those are some ways that I think God wants us to point other people to our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Dear Holy Spirit, we thank you for living within us. And as we think about you moving John and Andrew and many others to point people to Jesus, we pray that you would so work in us and help us to do the very same things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening. If you have questions, contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. If you are searching for a church in the Parma, Ohio area, attend with us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our regular schedule, Saturdays, class at 3, divine service at 4. Sundays, divine service at 9, classes at 10:30. For our festival schedule and much more, go to our website. Now, may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with us all.